ici avec toi. Parce que depuis toujours, chaque fois que je te voyais, je me disais que tu étais la femme que je désirais.
Et vraiment... Good afternoon and welcome to the Joy Wine and Spirits Wine and Food Pairing today. I am joined by Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits and also by Chef Kamla of Departure Denver. Welcome you both.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, this looks actually really good. I am not a fish person, but we have here, is it tuna poke?
It's tuna poke.
All right, so Chef Kamla, if you could just tell me exactly what is in this. I know I was asking a little bit of questions before him. So I see you're mixing up the tuna, but what all ingredients are you putting in here?
So we've got, it's like a gochujang sauce. Gochujang is a fermented, like a Korean fermented chili sauce. So we've got some yuzu, gochujang, a little bit of sesame oil, and then we basically just make a little sauce out of that, mix it into the tuna. We're also going to mix in a little bit of toasted sesame seeds.
Okay.
Some scallions.
Ooh, scallions.
Yeah.
Any garlic in there?
There's a little bit of garlic in the sauce itself,
okay.
So we just mix everything up, and then we just take the mixture, and we put it on top of the some diced avocado, which is just gets tossed in a little bit of sea salt, and extra virgin olive oil. And after we put the tuna on top of the avocado here, we garnish it with some pickled chilies. So it's got I wouldn't say it's a spicy dish, but it definitely has a little bit of heat to it, and it really just complements the dish itself.
As far as complementing, do you mean like it brings the flavor out more, or brings it alive?
Yep, it just balances everything out. The sweetness of the sweetness in the sauce, the creaminess of the avocado, and then just the fish itself. So we got some pickled chilies. We also have some salted radish. This radish is just a little bit bitter. A little bit bitter, and again, it just rounds all the flavors off. So you're gonna get a little sweet, a little chili, a little acid from the yuzu, again, creaminess from the avocado. Usually garnish it with a little bit of flowers, some edible flowers.
Oh, what kind are these?
We have carnations.
You can actually eat carnations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of little guys in here too, a little combination of flowers. So it's a nice little color contrast in here. All right. And then to top that off, we just garnish it with a little bit of the crispy taro chips.
Okay, I'm like, you're bringing out more stuff. Okay, you're like the man of surprises here. Gifts, gifts, gifts.
Yeah. So crispy taro chips. And again, it's just root vegetable, taro. It gives it a nice little earthiness, and of course a little vessel to put the tuna poke on top, and a little texture as well for the whole entire dish. This is actually a gluten-free dish.
Oh, is it? Okay.
We do use a lot of gluten-free soy sauce, tamari, so
mm-hmm.
We use a lot of it. So we actually have, when you come in, if you have a gluten allergy or celiac, we have a menu printed out specifically for that. So, it's actually a big menu too. I mean, that's the beauty of Asian food is that there's tons of gluten-free items.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you use that gluten-free soy. When it comes to noodles, you can use rice noodles. Rice, of course, is gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we have tons of really good dishes.
Well, and the taro, instead of like a corn chip,
Yeah.
And it's, exactly. I would imagine it's a lot.
You know, even like our whole fish, one of our signature dishes, you get a whole 2.5-pound striped bass.
Mm.
It's enough to share for like three people.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole dish is gluten-free. The dressing, the sauce. Generally, when it comes to Thai food, a lot of it is already gluten-free, so it's...
Well, and then you've got the real opposite, because next door you have quality Italian.
Yeah.
So really two different
restaurants. I think that's a cool thing about the hotel itself is that whatever you're in the mood for, if you're staying in the hotel for a night or two, you have the best of both worlds, Italian and a steakhouse, and then, of course, the Asian.
Steak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have a question, just because, like I said, I'm not a fish person. Shellfish I love, but regular fish I don't. But this is really good, and it's not fishy. I don't know if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
but it just
yeah.
You know, like you eat certain things, and you're like, well, and I do eat tuna fish. Let me take that back. I will eat tuna fish, but other things, people put salmon and carp and stuff. I won't touch it, but how come this doesn't have that fishy taste?
It's not as fatty. It's not as fatty. When you get really fatty fish like that, like salmon, it can become fishy, but it's incredibly fresh as well. I mean, like when you start getting that, the waft of the fishiness, that just might be a sign of it not being fresh. Yeah, I mean, we pride ourselves in just making sure that everybody gets the freshest quality. And like I said, a lot of stuff that we get gets flown right in overnight from Japan.
So. So what do you think about, like, sometimes when I eat tuna, I think, well, maybe I'm getting too much mercury.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's a thing. It's, you know, we definitely encourage, you know, anybody who's pregnant to stay away from, you know, they should stay away from tuna, mahi-mahi, you know, just some of those fishes that has the high mercury.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage people to stay away from that.
And do you know anything about, I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer, but... Some people say, oh, I don't want fish from Japan right now because of the nuclear reactor and the tsunami.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, that's not really an issue. You know, it's not a factor at this point. I think there's certain parts of the water that you would definitely stay away from. But that's definitely not a factor right now. Yeah, they're still swimming strong.
Are they, that was my other question. I mean, and I love to eat it, but sustainability. Mm-hmm. I always see that show on the Discovery Channel where they're harvesting the bluefin tuna, and they're huge animals.
Yeah. No, bluefin is definitely not sustainable. Different. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a yellowfin tuna.
Gotcha.
So bluefin, I believe, yeah, I mean, it's definitely on the watch list.
Okay, so I don't know, what do you mean by sustainable or sustainability as far as...
I'm just making sure, I mean, it's just being responsible in terms of, you know, bluefin is being overfished. It's being overfished and could eventually, I mean, if they don't control it, it can eventually become extinct. And the way, a lot of times, in terms of sustainability, is just, you know, how it's actually being fished as well, if it's humane, and it just the amount of traveling it actually does as well. So,
okay,
pretty incredible animal. They're giant.
Oh yeah, yeah. We actually, before we opened departure, we actually traveled for 2.5 weeks, close to 3 weeks. To Korea, Japan, Thailand, and Vietnam. And then we actually went to the Tsukiji market that I was telling you about, and they would have, like, you know, some yellowfin tunas that are probably, I would say, about 400 or 500 pounds. They're massive, they're really big. They're great to, I mean, it's sad to see them on the table, mm-hmm. but it's incredible product, too. Mm-hmm. It's literally right out of the water, right on this table. But they are massive. They're mm-hmm. really big.
What are these fish like?
These guys, mm-hmm. Yellowfin, they're probably more about, I would say about 100, 120 pounders. Mm-hmm. Probably about a 5-6 footer.
Okay.
So they're big guys.
So you get the whole fish or just a
fillet?
Oh,
we just get sides. We get mm-hmm. sides. Well, actually, these guys are probably more around like the 80 pounder. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could get them up to like 120.
So you said you get sides. So I'm thinking of, like, you know, when you get a cow and there's, like, you know, the veal and, you know, the best part mm-hmm. of what, I don't know. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? There's certain parts that are better than others. Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing?
Yeah,
with
absolutely. You've got, like, the whole tuna, like, towards the belly side, it gets a lot fattier, mm-hmm. which raises the quality of the fish itself. You have a toro tuna, which is, you know, basically at the bottom of the belly, which gets, that's the richest and the fattiest part of the tuna, that's the most expensive cut itself. And that's not what we use here. A toro is almost pink, if you will, just because it's so rich in fatness. Mm-hmm. And then, So when they actually break it down, they'll get about four sides of the fish if you just kind of cut it like a grid like that. And then the top part of it is a little bit cheaper. And then as you get to the belly, that's where it gets a little more expensive.
So do you use that for sushi then, mm-hmm. or sashimi? Because do you get the whole side or you just cut that? You don't get that.
Well, we just part. No, we don't do sashimi. We don't do sashimi. But yeah, we get more of the top side, mm-hmm. the top loin. But yeah, when you go into a sushi restaurant, that's where you'll start paying, some big bucks. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start getting a toro, and we bought it. When did we buy it? Oh, we did a Japanese compass dinner where it was a compass dinner where we had 7 courses of just Japanese cuisine. Mm-hmm. And then we brought in otoro, and it was about $55 a pound, just retail. So it's real. It's incredible product. It's mm-hmm. really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was I'm like, okay. I could see if this is one of your popular. I could totally see that.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. It's definitely up there. It's one of our biggest sellers. That and our departure
poke
wings.
Poke seems to be super popular right now.
It is.
You see a lot of poke restaurants mm-hmm. opening up and.
Yeah, it was like, a big trend of 2017.
I was going to say, like the latest trends, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have poke restaurants, poke bars, poke pop-ups, mm-hmm. Just people. I think it's brilliant. I mean, it's really highlighting the freshness of a really good fish and mm-hmm. just making sure.
Again. So I guess the compass or the thermometer is, because sometimes you wonder, like, some places are less expensive, mm-hmm. and so you wonder, like, and you're eating a raw product, is this going to be safe for me? So as long as it tastes clean and not fishy, mm-hmm. I guess yeah. it's probably safe to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it tastes fishy at all, yeah. or isn't there
there's
also
there's
an
certain
ammonia?
Fish out there that you want to be fishy. I'm like macro yeah. Saba is actually known and ordered and eaten just because it's a little bit more on the fishy side, and I love that. But it's a different type of fishiness, if you will, if it's like a bad piece of fish.
Because sometimes I've had, I had crab one time, and it almost was like ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
And that, ooh. I think, is a sign that
ammonia is definitely a sign of bad shellfish.
Yeah.
You'll get that in lobster as well. When lobster mm-hmm. goes bad, you'll have that ammonia smell.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely avoid that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I learned that.
Yeah.
You learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I was a little younger.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of signs of, like, if you're buying whole fish, if the eyes are kind of glossed over, kind of hazy, or kind of cloudy, then that's a sign of it just kind of going bad as well. So you could actually feel the fish as well. Most fish, if it's really fresh, it bounces right back. When you press the flesh, it bounces right back. But if you press it and then it comes back slowly, that just means the flesh is kind of deteriorating a little bit. And it's not as fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes a huge difference.
It really does.
In the taste and if you like fish or not. I think, some of us that grew up as kids, like with the way, probably not in your family, but some families, they just overcook everything and then they'd not have good ingredients or... maybe they're not very good cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so then people are conditioned, like, I don't like fish.
Yeah.
But they just haven't had good fish.
Yeah, my family was the same way. And, like, if I didn't go to culinary school, I'd probably appreciate a medium well steak. And,
yeah.
that's not wagging.
With A1 sauce.
Yeah, exactly. With A1. Everybody's conditioned in a way.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I was fortunate enough to get out of that because I'll go over to my mom's for 4th of July and we'll still have extra well-done steaks and ribs that are charred.
Do you ever use any of mom's recipes in anything that you've made at the restaurant?
I've definitely, when I moved back, I definitely spent a lot of time in the kitchen with my mom and mm-hmm. got inspired and learned some basic techniques. She's not a recipe type of person. I think most mothers and grandmothers aren't,
off the top of the head.
Yeah, so you have to, if you want to learn from her, you actually have to sit or stand in the kitchen with her and just be right there and take notes. but I've been inspired from my mom.
honestly, it's like a, I don't know, Carolina, but it just seemed like it's a very, just like an explosion of tastes and flavors when you take a bite of it. So it's really good. And you brought a 40-ounce red?
Yeah, I brought 40-ounce red. This is a really, I brought it for a few reasons. One is we've had a few seafood dishes in the last year, and a lot of times a go-to wine will be a sparkling rosé or a Riesling or a really crisp white. And it is winter, and I wanted to do something different, so I was trying to think of a red. And with a dish like this, you don't want to overpower the dish, and you don't want a lot of tannins here. So I wouldn't ever want to pair this with anything with oak or a lot of tannins. But what I did want to do was find something fresh and versatile and bright and light. I chose this wine, too, because I know that Departure is really kind of a hip and cheeky place, and this is a very hip and cheeky wine. If you looked at it, it's all the rage. And they have a rosé, and we also carry a white from them. But when you want to do a food and wine pairing, you want something that's going to complement and not overwhelm it. And this is just something that the importer wanted also, that you could just chug down and not have to take a nap. It's 12% alcohol, so some of us might need a little nap, depending on how many people you're sharing it with, but it's not overwhelming where it's getting into the 15-16% that some of our wines are getting to.
So what's the plan? I stop by Departure for a late afternoon lunch, and then I go to Joy Wine and Spirits to top something off, because I do have to ask, the 40 ounces, is it going to be tonight? Are you going to be tasting that tonight?
Yes, we will. Yeah, we'll have that open, and we'll have another white open. And again, this is very affordable. And now, you know, for this time of year, sometimes people overspend at Christmas, and so we want to do something that's not going to break the bank. And that's another reason why I chose this wine. But come on in, taste it, and see what you think, and check out the package, and have fun with it.
Great. Well, here we go to Tuna Poke. One, two, three.